In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host giving praise to God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Thank God for this good news of great joy that is for all people. I have three memories that I will particularly treasure for the rest of my life. And that's when Kate and I welcomed each of our children into the world as they were born. And it was not anything about my ceremonial role of Lamaze coach or cutting the umbilical cord that stands out to me as the most cherished of those memories. It was the moment when the eyes of our infant child met the gaze of their adoring mother, in whose womb they had been formed and nurtured and carried. I saw a new expression in Kate's face that I had never known before as she pondered and treasured our newborn daughters and son. And that's the kind of scene that Luke paints for us here in this precious narrative tonight. Luke loves to highlight the role women played in the life and ministry of Jesus. And he starts by putting the spotlight on the first and most significant woman in Jesus' life. Mary was not in a position to go out and tell others. She was not able, like the shepherds, to return to her work because she was in postpartum recovery. But she was able to do something vastly more important. In verse 19, with the words, "But Mary," Luke singles her out for special attention. On that holy night, when at last the crowds had dispersed and all was calm, Mary was able to spend some time in silence with her infant son. What was happening between mother and child in these tender moments, Luke wants us to pay special attention to tonight. He says, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The word ponder describes a profound, thoughtful conversation that Mary is having within her own mind as she connected the dots between the scriptures she had known from her childhood and the experiences she had had in these past 9 months. Putting together the promises of the prophets with the miracle of her own pregnancy and delivery of a child conceived by the Holy Spirit, we can imagine Mary singing, "What child is this who laid to rest on my own lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping." She pondered what the shepherds told her about this great heavenly host singing glory in excelsis Deo and peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests. She pondered the astonishing announcement she had received when the angel Gabriel was sent to her from God, how she had been favored by God out of all the young women in Israel to bear this child whose coming was first prophesied way back in the Garden of Eden, the one who would cancel the curse of sin by crushing the head of the serpent who deceived us into our own doom. She pondered how the prophet Isaiah spoke of a virgin who would conceive and bear a son, something that never had happened before and never would happen again. But here she is, still a virgin, and there he is, the son whom Isaiah had foretold, born of a woman, conceived by the Holy Spirit, truly human and truly divine. He looks just like any other baby. There's no halo glowing over his head. But as Mary ponders, she would have remembered how the Lord had said, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Here he is, the child born to be king, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting father, prince of peace. So why lies he in such mean estate where ox and lambs are feeding? Why is he in a manger, no crib for his bed? Why is the long-awaited son of David asleep on the hay? Because his name is Jesus, which means Savior. He came to save his people from their sins. And that meant he had to humble himself and descend down into the depths of the misery our sin merited in order to lift us to the heights of his throne in glory. And Mary pondered, what would this require of him? And soon, she would learn from Simeon that this child would cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and that he would be opposed, and that a sword would pierce her own soul as nails and spear would pierce him through, and the cross be borne for me and for you. Mary did not sentimentalize that first Christmas. She engaged the full powers of her intellect so that her knowledge of the identity of her son would be informed by deep meditation on the scriptures. She didn't float on the surface. She dove into the depths, pondering the meaning of his birth. But Luke wants us to know that this was not merely a cognitive exercise for Mary. As she was pondering in her heart, she wasn't just gathering information to fill her mind with truth. No, she was treasuring up all that she was learning and seeing. She was able to move from observation to adoration as she memorized and preserved and prized the splendor of this priceless treasure that God had brought forth from her womb into the world to be our Savior. She relished and savored his glory. She fanned into flame every holy emotion and affection of her heart toward him, and she never stopped. In fact, at the close of this very chapter, Luke fast forwards 12 years later to a time when Mary and Joseph were with Jesus in Jerusalem, and they lost him in the crowds, and in their great distress, they went searching for him, and when they found him, his mother scolded him. She said, "Son, why have you treated us so?" And Jesus responded, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And they went back home to Nazareth, and Luke says, at that time, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart, pondering and treasuring in her heart. That was Mary's life's vocation. From his manger to his cross, from the empty tomb to the upper room at Pentecost, Mary kept pondering and treasuring her son, and the fullness of his glory just kept shining brighter and brighter and brighter into her heart. That's what the example of the Blessed Virgin Mary calls forth from us. Mary would shudder at the thought of anyone praying to her or worshiping her. Instead, she would urge us to turn our eyes upon Jesus and to look full in his wonderful face as she did all her days. And it raises a question for us tonight. Do we know how to ponder this treasure? This Son of Mary, this Son of God, sent into the world for us. Do we know how to rivet our attention and focus our reflection and prolong our meditation on the fathomless depths and the immeasurable heights of the excellencies of Jesus Christ? Some people are best admired from a distance. They look great from afar, but the closer you get, the less their splendor shines. Not so with Jesus. The fuller you know him, the more you will love him. The deeper you ponder the breadth and length and height and depth, the more you will treasure this one whose love surpasses knowledge. There is always more for us in Christ than we have yet to lay hold of. There is so much more of his beauty and goodness and truth for us to ponder and to treasure. Will you move this Christmas beyond the sentimental nostalgia and momentary amazement that ends up leaving the soul empty and our lives unchanged? Will you take some time away from the busyness of the crowds to join Mary in treasuring her son, pondering in your heart the glories of the one who came from heaven to save us? Back in the 1600s, the French mathematician Blaise Pascal wrote some philosophical reflections, and one of the most profound things he said is all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. We don't know how to be quiet and to think and to adore. And if that was true 400 years ago, what do you think Blaise Pascal would think of us today? With our iPhones and our social media and our constant distractions. Isn't it true still that all of humanity's problems stem from our inability to calm and quiet our hearts before the Lord, pondering Him in our hearts, treasuring Him in our affections? Maybe for you, this Christmas will feel like Miracle on 34th Street or It's a Wonderful Life. I've had a few of those kinds of Christmases, and I truly hope you will treasure every magical moment of it. But no, don't neglect to take some time alone with Jesus, to ponder Him in your heart, to treasure Him in your worship. For a wise man once said, transformation is forged in the furnace of solitude. For others here tonight, aggravation might feel easier than adoration at the moment. Hardships and heartache, failures and fear are tempting you to feel like you're being cheated out of the Christmas your heart desires. That's you. Take heart from this road-weary, socially ostracized young virgin who's just given birth in a cattle shed. Let her lead you to a place where a Merry Christmas can be found, no matter the misery you're in. A truly Merry Christmas is found in imitating Mary's first Christmas, in following her example. Ponder what she treasured. C.S. Lewis wrote, "A stable once had something inside it that was bigger than our whole world." That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Ponder this mystery. The eternal Son, of the Father's love begotten, the Alpha and Omega, the source and the ending of all the things that are, that have been, and that future years shall see. The one who framed the universe with His word, who commanded and it was done, He was found in human fashion. Death and sorrow here to know that the race of Adam's children, doomed by law to endless woe, may not henceforth die and perish in the dreadful gulf below. Oh, that birth, forever blessed, when the Virgin, full of grace, by the Holy Ghost conceiving, bore the Savior of our race, and the babe, the world's Redeemer, first revealed His sacred face. He came down for you and for me. He came down to be near to the brokenhearted, to be patient with us in our belligerence, and to comfort us in our weary, worried minds. Wherever you're at tonight, He desires to be with you. He pursues you. He invites you to ponder in your mind and treasure in your heart all that He is for you, Emmanuel. Ponder nothing earthly minded this holy night. Ponder this treasure, Jesus, Son of Mary, Son of God, and treasure Him forever. Let's pray together as I lead us in the words of Pastor Scotty Smith. Jesus, You are the one thing that really matters, the only treasure worth treasuring, more ponder-worthy than anything else, the only Savior. We choose You because You first chose us. We love you because you first loved us, and we would delight in you more fully because you fully delight in us right now. So we say to you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, glory to you in the highest, and amen.